The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
What is up? Welcome back to Tomahawked. I am your host, Rob Fox, joined as always by Dan Holloway. We're here to talk some Atlanta Braves baseball. And, you know, apologies for the upcoming redundancy, but we're just going to, like, suck Ronald Acuna's dick for a while again today. I never get tired of it. It's not really, like, redundant or superfluous to me at this point to fillet Acuna.
Is it the taste? What is it
that keeps bringing you back?
It's like I never leave, really. Like, I'm just on it. It's like, fuck, what is there's like a couple shows where people get like addicted to something, but there's one where it's like Slurm in Futurama,
yeah,
right, where they're just like, eventually he's just,
I need
like
another Slurm to wash the Slurm taste out of my mouth is a quote from the show. So yeah,
and at one point they're just like sucking on the slug. That's basically where I'm at now. Okay. Ron Acuna is the Slurm slug for me. But before we get to Acuna in particular, fucking huge series win, it felt like, against the Rangers. Braves kind of on a skid, got rocked in Toronto, basically. And then they were on a four-game losing streak because they lost, they had split with the Red Sox. I was a little worried going into the Rangers series because the Rangers are, they're a good, not great team, but it's a road series and they're definitely talented, have a good record and all that shit. I think they are still in first place in the West, 26-17. So I mean, the Braves are only a game better than them. And they have the second best run differential in the AL. Actually in the major leagues, the Rangers had the second best run differential at +87, only behind the Rays. So a good team. And the Braves, it seemed like, I didn't get to watch almost any of this series just because I was busy, but nice to see that they weren't content to just tread water. Came out in game one after that sweep and blew their fucking doors off.
Yeah, I mean, they really didn't swing the bats well against Toronto for whatever reason. I don't know why. It's not that
Bassett pitched a complete game shutout.
Yeah, which is interesting because they usually hit him pretty well since he's been, I mean, they've seen him a lot because he was the Mets.
Yeah.
And that was, I mean, obviously, that was the by far the best game he's pitched all season. The other two games, they just snatched defeat from the jaws of victory, to be honest. Did not play well. Mentor didn't look good in either. Actually, he hasn't looked good in a while, frankly.
At this point, it's beyond a slump, I would say. Like, it's just kind of like, okay, something might be wrong with AJ. Iglesias blew a save, but he's not going to be perfect.
Now, the best closers in baseball are going to blow four or five a year, probably. So
yeah,
that's just how that goes. But yeah, the bullpen has been okay. It's not been very good lately.
No, it hasn't lived up to the potential that we thought it had.
Well, some of that is because two of our starters are out.
For sure.
And they're covering down on a lot of innings they wouldn't normally be covering down on. So that's just, you just kind of got to, this part, we're getting into the dog days of summer. It's almost June now. You just kind of got to eat that and hope for the best. As long as you keep winning most series, if you win two out of three series, you're good.
Yeah, and I need to dive into these numbers. I might do it for the next episode. But yeah, you're right. You know, they have to eat a lot of shit in the fourth, fifth, and sixth. Whereas, you know, ideally, you really just want them out there for 7-8-9, maybe 6-7-8-9.
Yeah.
If the starter's being inefficient. So I wonder what their numbers are 7-8-9 innings versus, you know, when they have to throw half a game. That would be interesting to me to see. So I might dive into those numbers at some point just to see how their performance is when they're pitching the way they're supposed to be pitching versus when they have to cover
other shit. But the game against the Rangers, game three, comeback win.
Mm-hmm.
Arcia hits the go-ahead homer in the ninth, I believe, top of the ninth. Incredible. Like, I'm very happy to see that they're not content to just sort of wait for reinforcements and try to just play 500 ball.
Well, the lineup is still really good.
Right.
The defense is still really good, especially now that Arcia is back on both accounts. Rosario has been playing okay defense and left, I guess. But he has been hitting really well.
He had a homer against the Rangers in game three, right?
Yeah, his batting average has gone from like 0.87 to 252 in the past month. So, you know, you can't really complain about that too much.
I mean, if Eddie's on, he's fucking great. Like, he's a 30 homer potential guy. I mean, even if you only get 20, 25 mm-hmm. homers out of him, that's the...
The most interesting thing about his splits right now is that he's 8-for-19 this year against left-handed pitching. Now, I don't know if that's coincidental or what. And I don't know. It's not reflective of his career, to be honest. But you know, he's got better vision now than he did before.
Yeah.
So that might play into it in some way. He's hitting 286 in May so far. You know, that's pretty good. And a lot of that has been against left-handed pitching. So I'm curious to see if they're going to run him out there against lefties more in big games, if it's a rubber game or, you know, against a tough opponent or something like that, where you can't necessarily afford to have a weak bat in the lineup or have... Certainly, Ozuna can't be in the outfield ever, so...
No, literally ever.
It'll just be interesting to see how they handle this moving forward, because he's done pretty well.
Actually, he doesn't... Rosario's not that bad against lefties, and he hits 275 against lefties in his career in 906 at-bats.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you call that? Like... two seasons almost, 906 at bats.
Yeah, but he's got like there's a reason that he hasn't seen since he left Cleveland. He hasn't seen many lefties.
Yeah.
Although in Cleveland he hit for a pretty decent average. He hit 281 in 2019 against left-handers, but his slugging percentage is like almost 100 points less, I think, against lefties. So maybe he's just making weak contact. Who knows, man? Now that the ship's gone, it might not be necessary to set him every time there's a lefty up.
And he's certainly, I would say, one of his advantages maybe as a lefty versus a lefty as opposed to like a lot of other lefties is that he's such an ambush hitter.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That he's aggressive, I suppose. So if he sees a fastball, he's just going to attack fastball type of situation. What'd you see from Strider in game three? He kind of had another not ideal start, I guess. Like, not terrible, but...
Yeah, he just couldn't locate his fastball. That's really what it was. He had... was getting behind in some counts here and there. You know, still always has electric stuff, but if you can throw 97, but if it's belt high and out over the plate, people in Major League Baseball are going to hit the shit out of it.
Right,
so,
especially if they see it a lot.
Yeah, and even some of the outs he got, like when he was in a jam and Corey, I think it was Semien hit a line drive to Acuna and he caught it, and then Seager hit a line drive to Eddie and he caught it. But those are very hard hit balls as well. So, you know, sometimes it's part of growing up as a pitcher. You have to learn how to have success when you don't have your best stuff. I think Charlie Morton is somebody he could learn from about that. And he's also working on developing a new pitch, it seems, because I've seen him throwing a cutter and that's never happened before. Mm. And I'm not sure that that's necessary, to be honest. Maybe he just doesn't feel comfortable with the changeup, so he's pivoting to a cutter instead. It's the most popular pitch in baseball now. Cutters and sweepers, aside from just a regular, you know, country fastball, is definitely the most popular pitch now. So I don't know if he's going to work on a sinker cutter combo or something like that. I don't think he should. I think the fastball right at the top of the zone is his most dangerous pitch.
It's so fucking electric that, yeah, I don't know that he needs. It's almost like a reverse Maddux, right? Like Maddux had quote unquote four pitches, but he really only threw two. I like we talk about, he very, very, like a lot of variance on the fastball in terms of grip and direction and stuff like that. But he threw a fastball and a changeup basically exclusively. So you can do it with two pitches. And he is, like I said, he's kind of like the inverse of Maddux. Like Maddux, obviously not a lot of velo. It was all location and stuff like that. Certainly Strider needs to work on his location. But yeah, I mean, he's got, in a sort of similar inverted way to Maddux, he's got such good stuff that a third and fourth pitch, aside from just like having something in your back pocket to pull out to confuse a hitter randomly, not necessarily like super necessary, you would think.
Yeah, I mean, I think fastball, slider, and then something that moves in the other direction. I mean, changeup obviously would be best, but I still think he needs to go for a splitter or forkball or something like that. Maybe it's he's not a very tall guy. He's like probably 5'10".
Yeah,
maybe. So I don't know if his hands are big enough to throw a conventional splitter, but like a Vulcan change or something like that. Not a circle change. A circle change is hard for somebody with small hands as well. So you gotta wrap the whole hand around the ball to slow it down so you can keep the same arm action and take 10 miles per hour off. It's kind of a process. So I don't know. He's young. He's 23 or 24 years old, whatever he is. So he's got, there's just so much time for him to learn stuff. And to be honest, he's kind of a perfectionist too. So I can see in his mind looking at a regular season game like this almost the same way as you might look at a spring training game where I'm probably good enough to beat these guys anyway, so I'm going to go try some things in this start.
Yeah.
And you know, there might be some level of hubris to that, but he's striking out 14 people per nine innings, you know what I mean? So it's hard to fucking say anything about it.
I agree with you that Morton would be a good person for him to learn from. Morton actually kind of, people don't really realize it now because he's, I don't know, he's like the old crafty veteran, and he's kind of been around everywhere. But Morton, pretty similar to Strider coming up. He's bigger than Strider, not the same body, but like Morton was really high velocity and then had a fucking killer breaking ball.
Yeah.
Just like Strider. I mean, Morton, not quite as high velo as Strider, but he was throwing like 98, I think, coming up. Like he had like serious velocity on his fastball, and the curveball's always been insane. So that would be honestly a good person to learn from, especially because I think Charlie Morton has a lot of like, I don't know that you would call it regret on his early career because he was with the Pirates. What are you going to do? But like, certainly if there's one person to talk to about who's super talented and has had a great career, but could still go back and be like, man, these are things I would have done differently young. Like, that's a great person to learn from.
Yeah, you need mentors, man, because you can have all the athletic ability in the world, but if you don't know what to do with it or how to hone those skills as a young player, then, you know, you're just kind of flapping in the breeze almost.
Right. And you can see on a lot of guys who have the athletic ability, but like they get a little older, things wear just a little bit, and that's just like, it doesn't take that much. Like once you're in the pros in any sport, it's just margins.
Yeah.
Like it's just, you don't need to lose that much of an edge to just drop off a cliff. You know, we were talking, I guess Ozuna's gotten a little bit better, but we were talking about that with Ozuna, right? He's always so fucking strong. And in his younger days, like he could just be strong. And we'll talk about it with Acuña in a second. That is a complaint we had about Acuña for a couple of years. He's like, man, he's such a freak, but like at some point he can't rely on only being a freak.
But he's, I mean, his approach this year has been about as good as I've ever seen it.
Yeah, let's get into that because I sent you a tweet the other day, maybe it was yesterday, of a stat that was eye-popping. It's my second favorite stat of this episode, actually, but it's crazy. So Acuña has hit 47 balls this year at 105 miles per hour or harder. 47, and that's in play, right? That's not foul balls, anything like that.
Yeah, that's who's the next highest?
The next highest is Vlad Jr. and Rafael Devers are tied with 34 each. He's got 13 more than the next closest person.
And so 25% more, basically, than the next closest person.
Yeah, and by the way, like, 13 would be a good... the difference between first and second here would be a good amount of barrels or hard hit... Or, I'm sorry, that would be a really good amount of balls hit at that speed for any player.
Well, let's call it hard hit balls, because that's how Major League Baseball defines it, 95 or higher.
Yeah. Well, and so he's 105 and higher.
Yeah.
Like... most players in the league, if they had 13 balls right now, hit 105 miles an hour harder, would be like, dude, I am crushing the fucking ball this year. And that's how many difference he has between first and second place. That in itself is mind-blowing. So I dove into some of the stats on where he ranks on this stuff. So Acuña actually is somehow fourth in average exit velocity in the major league base in the major leagues. Unsurprising to learn probably that Aaron Judge is first.
Yep.
At 96.2. So Aaron Judge averages a really good fastball off the bat every time he fucking puts it in play. Surprised to learn that Olsen actually a tick above Acuña at third.
Yeah, you know what? So just quickly, the difference between those two is, or between those three, I guess, is that Aaron Judge is going to strike out in about 34% of his at-bats, and you could say it's probably about the same for Matt Olson. Mm-hmm. Whereas, hold on, I can do the math real quick. For Acuña, it's 16.5%.
What?
16.5% strikeouts.
Oh, his strikeout rate is actually lower than that this year.
It's 16.5 right now, I think. Well, I don't know about right now, but he's on pace. According to ESPN site, he's on pace for 102 strikeouts and 633 at-bats. That's about 16.5%, which is amazing for a guy that's going to go 40-40, frankly, in today's game.
So he is actually... So this is what I want. Another thing I wanted to dive into. His K percentage right now for this year is 13.7.
Oof. Boy, and you look at Olsen. Let's see. 63 strikeouts and 161 at-bats, whatever that is.
Yeah, and you'll take that, by the way.
I mean, that's 40%. So
I wouldn't take that.
I would like it to be a little bit better.
Yeah, maybe in the 30s.
But yeah, the same thing for Judge. Judge has struck out 48 times in 130 at bats. So hard hit rate. So that's why Acuña is currently on pace for like 225 or so hits this year.
Yeah.
Because he's not only is he hitting the ball incredibly hard, he's also, it's like a sliding scale. You want a guy to be either making a lot of contact and putting the ball in play or hitting the ball very hard when he does, and he's doing both of those things.
And so this is what I've gleaned from the number. Now, certainly I've been watching him all year, and you do kind of see this. He did this a lot, but not as well in his near 40-40 year in 2019. Mm-hmm. But this is how he plays, and this is how Albert Pujols hit, is that you sort of work backwards, right? The goal isn't launch angle and home runs and power, right? Mm-hmm. The goal is great hitting.
Yeah.
And you let, it's like letting the homers, letting the doubles come to you.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what Acuña is doing. And look, there's only so many players that even have this ability, right? Like players even like Judge, who is great. Or like Olsen, who is, you know, very good, but certainly an imperfect player. They need to probably cheat's not the right word, but they need to have specific goals. Mm-hmm. They need to be like, all right, I need to do this to get this. Guys like Acuña, Pujols, Trout, that type of thing. They essentially, like I said, they let the results work themselves out.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, part of it is, Trout's this way too. He's such a good low ball hitter, and Bryce Harper as well. Mm-hmm. Such a good low ball hitter that they don't necessarily have to concentrate on lifting the ball. And they're, for all three of those guys, Trout, Pujols, and or not Pujols, Trout, Acuña, and Harper, they do have, just like any other hitter, a hole at the top of their swing, because that pitch looks so good because it's right at your eyes, but you can't fucking hit it. But you can't miss up there. If you're 6 inches too low, that ball's going 450 feet for all three of those guys. And that's why you see players like Harper and Trout and Acuña, they'll go four, five, seven games without a home run, and all of a sudden they'll hit five in a series, right? Because if you fuck up with them, like, they're not out there trying to lift the ball and hit home runs. That's just how they hit. And if you miss a pitch in the right spot, it's going out. So, you know, to be honest, if Acuna focused on it, he could probably hit 280 and hit 50 home runs every year if he wanted to.
Yeah.
But does that help the team? No. He wants to be, he feels like he's a leadoff hitter. And that's why that type of approach to the game is so useful and so successful for him. To be honest, if Trout and Otani's careers had lined up differently, I wouldn't have been surprised to see somebody throw them out 1-2 as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you can imagine what...
If they came up like 6 years later.
Yeah. If Otani was a little bit older or Trout a little bit younger, instead of having Pujols in the middle of that lineup, you might have seen Trout 1, Otani 2, and that would have been something, ugh, to be honest. As a matter of fact, I would do it right now.
Yeah, why not?
Just get... Because the difference between the hitting first and hitting sixth... Or I'm sorry, hitting first and hitting fifth, I think is like 50 at bats a year.
Yeah.
50 plate appearances. That's a lot for the two of the best hitters in baseball.
You really, yeah. I mean, you can justify going them maybe like 3-4 just because you want the RBI opportunities. Mm-hmm. But a guy like that shouldn't be hitting below, and neither of those guys should be hitting below 4. And really, ideally, you really, if you don't want them lead off, fine. But 2-3, right? Like, that's certainly where you would want them. But Acuna, I mean, just the approach, just everything. So I kept looking at the numbers. He leads the league in hard hit balls, mm-hmm, just outright hard hit balls. He's third in the league in barrels, only 12th in the league in barrel rate, though. But what that means is that the reason for that, despite leading the league in barrels, but only being 12th in barrel rate, is that he's hitting, right? Like I said, Judge, Olson, those types of guys, Vlad Jr., whomever, like, they're not making as much contact. So when they do make contact, they're getting more barrels. Yeah.
And I don't know about Vlad. I guess I could look, but the other guys are fucking striking out twice as much as him.
Yeah,
which
if
is
not more.
I mean, that's pretty. That's a wild stat to see somebody who's at the top of the league in home runs, in the top 10 or so in home runs.
I believe top 5.
Definitely in barrel rate and hard hit balls, and he's striking out half as much as everybody else. That's pretty incredible.
So this is what's funny, too.
Oh, damn. Vlad's not striking out either. He's only struck out 26 times this year.
Oh, shit. Okay. So scratch Vlad. That was actually very sizist of me.
Well, one of these years, he's going to win an MVP. Hopefully, it's before he gets diabetes. Because yeah. Oh, God, if the guy would just commit to being as healthy and in shape as possible, he would be the best player in baseball, I think.
He's insane. And that's something you see. Like, if you see a guy who has power who doesn't strike out, that guy's an animal.
Yeah.
That guy's a top five hitter, period. So it's funny, too, just to give some perspective on this with Acuna. His launch angle is between 50 to 75% lower than these other dudes, mm-hmm, that are with him on barrel rate and number of barrels and stuff like that. The product of that is not that he's doing worse. It actually means he's doing better. He's second in the league, in major leagues, in batting average, which typically, you know, batting average has kind of fallen out of favor a bit. But at the end of the day, I mean...
Well, when your average exit velo is 95 miles per hour and you're hitting 350 almost, that's pretty fucking good.
Right.
You know? I mean, it's definitely something you should pay attention to. Luis Arraez is... It's like he's Pete Rose, right? I mean, obviously not nearly as good as Pete Rose.
But he's doing a Pete Rose impression.
But he's doing an impersonation, not just this year either, the past couple of years. He won the batting title in the American League last year, don't forget, which is crazy that the Marlins were able to pick him up. But yeah, he's that dude's legit. He's a really good hitter. But Acuna is, at this point, so Arraez has been on the downswing a little bit. I think he's down to, what, like 360 or something?
Yeah, he's still leading Ronald, but I think not by nearly as much.
He's hitting 378, and Acuna's at 345, so he's 33 points ahead still, but it's, you know, if you look at OPS, it's not even close. Arraez, he's, what, 100 points behind? He's 100 points in OPS behind, and he's got 33 more batting average points, if that tells you anything.
Right. And only Arez, only three barrels on the year.
How is that even possible? Like, you, as good a hitter as he is, you would think he would hit barrels by accident sometimes.
I know, right? Just putting the bat on the ball in the right situation. But yeah, he's only barreled the ball three times. To your point, yeah, he's like a Pete Rose type hitter, which, by the way, plenty of utility in that.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, that's he's a value add anywhere he goes, for sure.
Yeah, with, like, unquestionably. So Acuña hitting the ball harder than basically anyone. He is in the top 20 in least strikeout. I think he ranks 18th right now in strikeout percentage, at 13 point whatever. Watching him this year, and again, you saw it a little bit in 2019, because he is the type of guy, like, you see him get a lot of base hits or a lot of, like, almost like balls that are, I wouldn't call it like smashed into the ground, but a lot of his doubles are like basically ground balls.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That find holes or get down the line. Like, they're not like roped off the wall and stuff like that. So his launch angle, it's at like 6-7% or whatever. Or 6 degree, whatever it is. I mean, he is just working backwards. He's still in the top. He's in the top five in home runs. His slugging percentage is, I didn't even check where he ranks in that. I assume it's ridiculous. His slugging percentage is incredibly high, and it, according to Fangraphs, it should be higher. So he's second. He's second in the major leagues in slugging percentage.
Second in batting average.
It's just absurd. The only thing he's really
first in on base percentage, second in slugging. You know, I mean, that's a legit, like, great. That's a Miguel Cabrera, Albert Pujols, Frank Thomas kind of year right there. You don't see, there's not many guys, oddly enough, all right handers as well, but you don't see that kind of stat very frequently. Even in his best years, I don't think people like Griffey would do something like that. Maybe Albert Bell.
Yeah.
Just because he was so roided out. Like, and people, he definitely had, he had a 50-50 year, 50 home runs. And I think he had 52 doubles that year. So maybe that year, because he walked a lot as well. But it was, most of the walks were intimidation walks, I think. I'm not sure if he necessarily has a great eye. I think people were just scared for him to knock their fucking heads off.
I can give you one, certainly. Actually, he has a couple. But Chipper had a couple, 400, 600 years.
Yeah, I can see that.
In 99, his MVP year, obviously, his on-base percentage was 441, and his slugging was 6.
I'm sure Bonds did it a couple years as well.
Oh, God, yeah.
Probably four in a row.
Yeah, Bonds for sure. But for human beings, Chipper in 07 also 425, 604, and that was when he wasn't even hitting home runs anymore. He had 29, I guess, but he was more of a doubles guy at that point.
I mean, Bond's career OPS is Ronald Acuña's OPS this year. So, you know.
Take it.
He may have had some help.
But so do you think, this is like one of our most common topics, questions, but like the approach, everything, like this doesn't look like it's just talent anymore.
Yeah, it's his approach has definitely changed quite a bit. I still see him on the bases sometimes, not from first to second, but from second to home. He makes mistakes sometimes.
Yeah.
And situational hitting, I think there's still some learning to be done there, but let's just be clear. The guy's already almost won an MVP. He's probably, unless he gets hurt this year, he'll definitely win the MVP in the National League.
I don't see how.
Yeah.
I mean, if he stays healthy,
he'll be 40-40 and hit 330 or higher. There's no way. And likely drive in 100 runs. It depends on how the bottom of the Braves lineup performs the rest of the year. But
he's already scored 40.
Yeah. He'll score 130 or so runs probably as well. So he'll win MVP this year. He's 25, right? So he'll be in his prime about 2.5 years from now. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, he's got plenty of time to learn and stuff like that and sharpen up. And I think it's all about, like with any other professional athlete, it's about finding internal ways to challenge yourself. It's what made Kobe and Jordan great. It's like taking offense to things, even if it's just your own performance. But like, I'm better than that. Fuck that. I'm going to get better at this. Or people in the league. I mean, the way you got to frame it is people in the league think they can get me out by throwing the slider low and away. So I'm either going to learn how to take it or fucking drive it. You know what I mean? That's the mindset that it takes to be truly great over the course of your career, especially once the athleticism starts to fade. But we're talking about fucking 8 years from now when the athleticism presumably would start to fade.
Right.
If then, if not later. Right. So, I mean, you know, this has been a big step for him. I think being out all that time gave him a little bit of FOMO. And I think,
he had the ultimate FOMO experience.
Missing a World Series. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he really wants to win. He seems less doofy this year than he has in the past.
Yeah.
He's not giving up any at-bats. He used to give up.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
A lot of at-bats.
He would get, he would either miss his pitch. He would basically miss his pitch one way or the other, right? Maybe he fouled it off. Maybe he didn't see it coming on that. Or maybe whatever. Maybe he just swung and missed. But you would see him sort of like be like, well, that was my pitch. And then just kind of like wave at it for the rest of the at-bat. You're seeing that a lot less. But I also think, honestly, what you're seeing a lot less is him missing his pitch as well.
Yeah, and that's going to happen. There's not much you can do about that. I mean, it's the best players that will ever play this game can succeed about 3 out of 10 times. So,
right.
You know, what the fuck are you going to do? You can't accept. Like, I get it. We're not playing video games here. This is like the most difficult thing to do in sports, which is to hit a round ball with a round bat, and now they're cutting and diving in every fucking direction at 97 miles per hour. I mean, it's never been harder to hit ever, I don't think.
No.
In the history of baseball.
No. The only thing that could have possibly made... There's only two things in baseball now that I guess you could say are easier for the hitter than it used to be, which is a lower mound.
Mm-hmm.
And... I would say, just better equipment, right? Like, that's sort of a thing in tennis they talk about all the time. They're like, it's impossible to compare eras. And golf is the same way, too, but tennis even more so. It's, like, impossible to compare eras because the equipment's just fucking insane now.
Yeah.
As compared to, like, a wooden racket from the early, like, McEnroe days. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I... Presumably, bats are roughly the same way. Remember there was that thing for a while where... there was just like a million broken bats because these dudes were just having like toothpick handles with like fat fucking barrels.
They also switched over to primarily white ash is what bats have been made of throughout all of baseball history. And then sometime, I think it was in the late 90s, this Canadian company, I can't remember the name of them. Can't remember the name of it, but they started making these maple bats. Right?
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
And that's Barry Bonds popularized them. He made them very popular, and they would just like that he was using that bat actually when he hit that home run when he broke his bat. It was a maple bat. So it was like it was lighter than ash, and they would press it and bone it to make it just as hard, right? And then it would but like you said, at the handle, at the narrow points, it lost a lot of its integrity. So you would see a lot of shattered bats, even on hard hit balls sometimes, which is interesting. Now there's a company, but there's obviously Louisville Sluggers. A lot of people still use them. But I think the most popular bat out right now is the Victus. And they have every type of wood imaginable. Like you go to their hitting lab and they put you in a 3D cage and you fucking take swings. And they give you different types of lumber, different shapes of bats, different knobs and all kinds of stuff to kind of dial in what feels comfortable for you. So it's a lot different now. I mean, that's where Dansby gets his axe handle bats from.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, the axe handle is kind of a popular thing now as well, I feel like, or has been in the last couple of years.
And there's some that don't have a knob at all. It just kind of gets a little bit bigger at the end. You know what I mean?
Which is, that's almost like a classic bat. Like if you go look at pictures
of bats.
The
early part of the 20th century, that's pretty much what they were using.
Yeah. I mean, the equipment and stuff is the only thing that basically makes it hitting less shitty. But I really, it's still early in the year or whatever. He could slump. Well, he will slump at some point, but this feels like a corner's turned. And I do hope you're right. I hope he got the FOMO and was like, fuck. Like, I guess I hope he understood the sort of fleeting nature of it all and how easily it could be taken away and was like, all right, I'm not wasting any more opportunities. And he certainly has plenty of sort of competitive fire in him. If you remember all his highlights from the Venezuelan series.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He definitely was having fun playing baseball again. And maybe that was it. Who knows?
Yeah. Just Acuna, look, if you're a Braves fan, you already know, but if you're not a Braves fan and you just like baseball and you're listening to the show and you want to watch, Acuna is must see TV right now. The same way I will always, unless there's a good matchup, I pretty much always turn on an Angels game after the Braves game is over. Yeah. Just to watch those two guys.
And they are hitting 2-3. I was looking into that a second ago. They're hitting 2-3 pretty much this whole season. But nothing else going on in that lineup, so it's kind of wasted.
Yeah. Real quick, before we keep going, we do have some sponsors, specifically MyBookie.com. If you go to MyBookie.com, use the promo code DRINKINGBROS, you will double your first deposit up to $1,000. So if you put in $50, they'll give you a free $50. You put in $1,000, they'll give you a free $1,000. Just depends how much you feel like putting in. They will match that. Use the promo code DRINKINGBROS, and they will do that. Any baseball bets you like this week? The Braves, or this weekend, I should say. The Braves have the Mariners, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think they... I haven't seen who the pitching matchups are going to be, but that's a tough series. Mariners are a good team.
They are. They're still only 21-22, but like we talked about last week, I think it's a good roster, and it's just they're just not quite. They haven't gotten there quite yet. But they're tough. I wonder if we catch Castillo. Let's check that real quick.
Yeah, maybe. And Julio Rodriguez is having a pretty pedestrian year so far.
A little sophomore slump.
Yeah.
So we miss Castillo, thank God. We got Elder going tonight. Ugh, on Apple TV, motherfucker. And then we're on Fox on Saturday. Question mark pitcher for that. And then Morton versus Kirby on Sunday. But yeah, you might get some good, and we're at home. Might get some good good value maybe on the bullpen game in particular, because Logan Gilbert's been pretty good. He's got a 1.02 whip this year. 3.91 ERA, though.
He's had bad luck because he's also striking out 10.5 per nine innings.
Yeah.
But hasn't been able to make it out of the fifth inning very, very frequently. I think only once this year.
You might get the Braves' dogs on Saturday.
Yeah, you may. Yeah. I think their starting pitching has been okay. But everything after that has been kind of rough on them, except for Paul Sewell. But he's fucking great. That dude his ERA is a little elevated, but I think he's become one of the best closers in baseball. Right now, he's just kind of wasted on them because they're not fucking putting together good games. But he'll sometimes him and Justin Topa both had really good seasons on the back end of that bullpen, but the rest of that bullpen has not been good.
I think they're just kind of waiting for their lineup to wake up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to score to win, especially in the fucking American League. I mean, it's always been like I don't know if I can remember a team in the American League that was pitching in defense that was hyper successful. You know what I mean?
No, because even the ones that had great of that still hit.
Yeah,
like probably the best example in recent times would be, the Royals maybe were more pitching and defense.
I guess that's probably the only one.
Yeah.
The 15, 16 Royal era Royals.
And then, pretty much.
You could say Tampa Bay just always puts together a good roster.
Yeah.
That does all the little things you need to do well. But I would never have called them a pitching defense team.
No,
just kind of a weird oblong situation.
Yeah. It's a tough sledding for the Mariners this year. The West is shaping up to be pretty fucking good. I don't think the Rangers are a fluke.
No, but they will see some regression at some point because they can't keep their pitchers healthy.
Yeah.
So that'll be a problem for them. But the hitters are fucking, they have Marcus Semien, Corey Seager, and Adolis Garcia. That's as good as a three-man or three guys on a fucking offense is in baseball. So, you know, that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out over the course of the season.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. There's a couple picks I like here. I would take the Diamondbacks, and they have Zach Gallen going tonight. Mm. They're playing the Pirates. I would take that. The Rays playing the Brewers at home with McClanahan on the mound. Love that. What else we got here? Oof, gross. Tigers, Nats. I don't know about the Braves.
You're talking about from today's games?
Yeah, today's games. You can just fill in the Astros over the fucking A's. And then I don't know about Dodgers Cardinals. That's a little sus to me.
No. That's Tony Gonsolin versus Steven Matz, Dodgers.
All right. There's a couple good games here. I'm actually going to put in a parlay after this is over. I will. I'll let you guys know what I pick in Drinking Bros Sports. I'm tossing something in today for sure. But yeah, mybookie.com, promo code Drinking Bros, double your first deposit. Next up, this is my favorite stat I've seen all year about the Atlanta Braves for anyone. I texted you the other day as I was just like giggling. So we've basically, since the World Series, I would say, said that Anthopoulos is the best GM in baseball. Certainly top three along with, you know, whatever robot is running the Rays and... like maybe one other guy. But this statistic in particular is hilarious. So Orlando Arcia, we've talked about a lot, how he's had a nice year. It's really unfortunate that he got hurt because he started off great. He's still playing great. Had that game-winning home run, like we said. But one thing we've talked about with Arcia is like he's such an interesting bet to make on shortstop because he was a top 10 prospect in the league with the Brewers. Like he was a top 10 Major League Baseball prospect with the Milwaukee Brewers. He's still relatively young. I think he's in his 20s. He's
28, yeah.
Yeah, 28. So he's in his prime-ish. He's in his prime years. And the Braves were like, you know what? Let's save money. We can't afford Dansby, even though Dansby's having a great year, by the way. He's earning his money. We can't afford it. We'd rather spend our money elsewhere. So they put Arcia in, and then right at the beginning of the season, Anthopoulos signs Arcia, this former top 10 prospect who's 28 years old now, to a 3-year, $7.3 million deal, which is he's playing for free for us basically in the
more or less at this point, yeah.
So what's interesting about that is, like we've said, Arcia has had an incredible start to the year, been fantastic, good on defense, great with the bat. He has actually put up, despite being injured, he has put up 1.1 wins above replacement this year, despite missing time.
Yeah, how much of that is defensive? Because he's played outstanding defense this year.
Let me look it up. He has a 169 WRC plus, so he is. It's not getting buoyed by the defense.
Yeah, I mean,
Fangraphs kind of has him as like a slightly above average on defense.
Okay. Well, that's better than what we expected because historically speaking, he's been slightly below average on defense.
Yeah.
But, you know, having Ron, and you know, to be honest, it's never been his hands. His hands are great. It's been throwing. He's just not been a great thrower. I think most of his errors have been throwing errors. So maybe Wash has fixed that up. Maybe he's just figured it out himself. Who knows? But, he's got 4 home runs in 22 games despite missing some time. And, you know, there's about 115 games left. So you're looking at like a 20 to 25 home run season out of him, even with the injury.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and his what's interesting with Arcia, too. So he's hitting .342 on a .386 batting average on balls in play. He's fast, but he's not like crazy speedy or anything.
Yeah, he's just hitting the ball hard.
But what's really... yeah, encouraging is he's got a fucking .405 on base percentage and his slugging is .592.
Yeah, I mean it's a limited season. It's like a month worth of games basically. 22 games, 76 at bats, 7 walks, so not a terribly high amount.
Yeah.
But more than, you know, you would expect out of him. So he's definitely seeing the ball well and he's, you know, hitting down in the order like that. He's also seeing a lot of fastballs and that just over the course of the season benefits the team so much, where when you get to the bottom of their order, it's fucking Arcia and Michael Harris. You know what I mean?
It's a like, fucking nightmare.
It's just there's no easy outs anywhere. I mean, to be honest, the worst starting hitter for the Braves so far this year has been Austin Riley, I think.
Yeah.
For people that have played full time so far, and he's going to hit fucking 35 home runs. So, you know, it's not a lot of complaints.
No. And so RC has been great, especially when you, like you said, factor in that he's not hitting in the middle of the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like you're getting this production from a 7-8-9 hole guy. Like, fuck. So he's put up 1.1 wins above replacement, right? So there is a dollar amount for each unit of win above replacement, mm-hmm. right? For each one win above replacement, there's roughly a dollar amount that teams would pay for that. They'll sort of going rate, if you will. Like if you have, I don't know if the agents do this, but I imagine they have something similar where they'll come in and be like, our guy was worth this. This is how much, this is the league average pay for this amount of production, whatever. With his 1.1 win above replacement, Arcia has already exceeded the value of his entire contract. One win above replacement is worth $8 million. He's getting $7.3 million over 3 years.
Yeah, you'll take that.
Like, what the fuck else could you possibly want Alex Anthopoulos to do? Like, he's just a fucking wizard at this point.
Yeah, I mean, here's what I want him to do. I want him to take Jared Schuster and Vaughn Grissom and trade them.
Yeah.
Maybe to Oakland, with whom we have a good relationship, for this kid named Brent Rooker. I don't know if you followed his career so far. He's 28 now, so kid is not necessarily the right word. But bounced around a little bit, saw some action in Minnesota in 21 after the COVID year, but limited action. Hits the ball really fucking hard but the thing with him has always been that his he strikes out a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Lower average. So this year it seems like he figured it out. He's hitting .295 with 11 home runs and 30 RBI so far this year, which puts him on pace for 40 home runs. He's doing that in the biggest goddamn stadium that exists.
Yeah, he saw what happened to Sean Murphy once you got him out of the fucking Coliseum.
Yeah, so he's hit. He's got about equal at bats, 7 more at bats at home than on the road, but he's got 4 home runs at home and 7 on the road, so it's not like a massive split there.
Yeah.
And he's also hitting about 100 points higher away from that bullshit stadium. So I think that's a guy you can target. He's 28 years old. He's got another, he's got this year and next year as pre-arbitration year still. Came up late.
Yeah.
So you have team control of this guy for about 4 more seasons. And next year he's set to make about $850,000. So you can trade those two guys. And look, Oakland is a place where Vaughn Grissom can go and get major league at bats against major league hitters,
yeah.
Major league pitchers, in a environment where it doesn't really, it's not that big a deal if he up on defense, you know what I mean? And I mean, because he needs to continue to develop as a hitter, so when he does figure it out on defense or they find a position for him, he can immediately step in and be, because I think he's got, hitting-wise, I think he's got MVP caliber skills at the plate. You can't play bad defense on a fucking championship team like that.
No, I mean, he needs to be a third baseman, too. Mm. And he's not going to be a third baseman in Atlanta.
Definitely not, no. So I think this is a really good trade. I know AA said he didn't want to do too much before or this early in the season and shit like that. But that kid, Rooker, is somebody that I've had my eye on for about the last month, and he's really looked good. I mean,
yeah.
I'm a big fan of his. And then there's another guy over there in Oakland, young guy, 24-year-old, that came over they drafted him, I think, 2 years ago out of college. His name is Mason Miller, and he's got pretty much a strikeout per inning and a .98 whip as a starter for Oakland. So that's another guy. It's like, package some of these young guys, bring over a young starter that's major league ready right now, you know, and a left fielder that's major league ready right now. And then I think that those are there's a lot of stuff going on out there. And I honestly, I think is probably going to wait to see what the actual timetable is for Wright, Fried, and for Soroka.
Right.
To see exactly what he needs to do so he can have... You don't want to fucking send Von Grissom over for a dude that is going to end up in middle relief, for example, right? It's just not worth it. So you want to make sure that you do the right things. But there's a lot of potential out there.
I really want them to use Grissom and Schuster and whomever else they need to use to go after Zach Gallen.
I would like Zach Gallen, yeah. Gallen and or this kid. Either one of those would be fine with me.
Because I don't know what Oakland's situation is, like what they even care about right now. But, I mean, the Diamondbacks
it's not winning.
Yeah, I know. The Diamondbacks are clearly in a rebuild, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're not... Zach Gallen is useless to them, especially mm-hmm. because he's 27. But... he's not a free agent until 2026.
Right.
So we would have him for 2.5 years under team control. And honestly, at this point, like, forget even the fact that, like, you know, we'll have pitchers come back or whatever. Like, just load it up, dude. Mm-hmm. Just load up the fucking rotation. Every game needs to be a nightmare for the other team in the playoffs. And Gallen right now is maybe the best pitcher in Major League Baseball.
He's looking pretty good, yeah.
I mean, it just... obscene numbers. Am I on Gallen's page? Yeah. 235 ERA. His FIP is 178. He's got 2.7 wins above replacement. And then where was I? Oh, the advanced. Yeah. His WHIP is 0.85. And for the entirety of last year, his WHIP was 0.91.
Yep.
That'll play.
That'll get her done. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's... it's his K percentage at. That's the other thing. He strikes out 10 per 9, almost 11 per 9. So he gets that that's done.
Good. I mean, if they could put together a package that would include him and Corbin Carroll, for example, who's 22, sitting just shy of a 900 OPS. He's already stolen 10 bases this year, plays really good defense in left field. That's a move I think we should make probably sometime in June, I would guess. We'll see how the rest of the season plays out, or the rest of the summer, rather, plays out. Technically, Arizona is still in contention right now, so I'm not sure it'll be popular with the fan base to start making moves like that.
It's going to have, like, just if you're a Braves fan, start rooting for Arizona to fall off a cliff.
Yeah.
Like, look, they're not going to win the West. And I don't, they could, man, there's just the playoffs are so loaded right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the playoffs are so expanded right now that they could very realistically make the playoffs. They actually have the third best record in the National League right now.
If the Mets don't turn it around, I think there's a pretty good chance.
Because
I think the Marlins will hang around. They've got their offense this year is so much better than it's been the last couple years. And despite the troubles that Alcantara has had, he's still Alcantara. He'll turn it around. And they got that kid, Urias, whatever the fuck his name is, that came up that basically is exactly like Alcantara. So
right.
Good fucking luck over there. I think the Marlins will stay in the hunt, and the Phillies are going to make a push as well, so it may not matter what the Mets do, but the Padres have fucking sucked all year.
Oh, man, they just...
So I don't know what's going to happen out of that. I don't know.
Maybe they'll sign another guy to a $500 million contract. Still not make the playoffs. Yeah. Still not go far in the playoffs.
I don't think the Giants are going to make a play, but I do expect the Padres to end up at second place in that division at some point. So the Diamondbacks will be out of it. The question is, will it be before the end of August? Right. So who knows?
Yeah, I admit that they're. I mean, I just looked at their depth chart, and it's. It does not seem like this is going to be sustained. The run differential doesn't scream sustainable either, but that is what it is. Last but not least, real quick, the Braves announced their first sponsor logo on their jersey, and how the fuck is it not Waffle House?
I have no idea. Or the Varsity or something. Yeah. Just give it I would rather them have given it away for free to somebody than put Quikrete or whatever the fuck.
Fucking Quikrete. Like, gross.
Or Coca-Cola, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, no shit, it's right?
Like an Atlanta-based company. Maybe not CNN. But certainly an Atlanta-based company. And maybe Quikrete is. I don't know.
Home Depot, also Atlanta-based. Arthur Blank owns Home Depot.
Yeah.
So
Quikrete is an Atlanta company. Okay. So whatever.
I guess. It is funny. Like that might be like a funny jersey to own in the future. So I actually low-key think that... one reason they want sponsors on jerseys is because it sells more jerseys, not fewer jerseys. Because if you notice in soccer with the kits or whatever, people like to have the different eras, right? Like Chevy on Man U 1 year and then whatever the other year. I bought my brother, he's a big, what was that team? Leicester City or whatever.
Yeah, Leicester City.
He's a Leicester fan, so I bought him a throwback from the 90s that just had some random British cracker company.
You said your brother is?
Yeah.
So he became a Leicester City fan when they won the title, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because no one was a Leicester City fan unless they were from Leicester City before 100%. That. Was that 2018, Georgia, or 2017? And now they're about to get relegated, I think, this year.
Yeah. I will say the only other reason he might have done it, although it was definitely primarily because of that, maybe what stuck for him, is that their logo is a fox.
I do like their kit, yeah.
But I bought one from the 90s that was like this.
They're definitely getting relegated shit.
No, there's still hope. There's still hope.
Dude, they don't have any fucking hope. What are you talking about?
There's two games left, and they're only a point away from safety, or 2 points away from safety.
I guess it's so it's mathematically possible, possible, but they're probably getting fucking relegated.
But I think... like people will be like, people want, are like, oh, that's funny. You got the Quikrete one. Then they'll be like, oh shit, I want the Coca-Cola one.
That's a good point.
I want the Waffle House jersey.
I mean, unless somebody signs a crazy long-term deal, you should probably switch it out every year or three, something like that.
Right. Because if you buy an old one, in fact, I did this with the Nike ones. I had a pre-Nike Braves jersey, and I was like, just show, like, it's old now. Like, I want the Nike version. And so now, yeah, I think people will upgrade more frequently because... they'll be like, oh, shit, like, I'm showing my ass. I got the Quikrete version. I need the Waffle House.
And it's about, I don't know how much they're paying for that right now. Now, the kit placement in football internationally, that's a lot of fucking money.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, it is a lot of fucking money. But baseball, it's probably not that much.
No. I wouldn't expect. I wonder how much a comparable one would be the NBA, I would assume.
Probably, yeah. But even the NBA, I don't think, because how much, let's see. Lakers, Wish... contract. It's Wish for the Lakers, right? It's like 12 to 14 million annually.
Oh, that's nothing.
No.
It's just like paying for a bench player.
I'm sorry. So Vox is saying 30 million, maybe 45. But if it's a, like, Giorgio, what do you think AIG paid Arsenal? Or what do you think, who's on Chelsea right now?
Chelsea is now, no, it was three. I'm pretty sure we're still three mobile. But I remember the Chevy sponsorship for Manchester United was around like 80 million, I believe.
And, but that was like fucking 30 years ago or like 10 years ago or some shit.
Yeah, like 10 years ago, yeah. Wayne Rooney wore that jersey. So.
And then they switched to AIG too, didn't they, for a while? Man City or Man U? I don't remember. But yeah, those kit contracts are probably right now in the $100 million range. I would expect.
Right.
At a minimum for the top tier clubs, obviously.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I was so wrong. It's a decade ago, the contract was $599 million.
That's more like it.
Yeah. I was off by a decimal point.
You were off by an order of magnitude.
I probably did the per year.
Yeah.
So much more.
This is probably the length of the contract. It's probably like a 6 year contract. For $599 million or an 8 year contract for $599 million?
Probably something like that. So I think for the top tier teams, I think, if I remember correctly, it's somewhere between 100 and 120 million a year. That was back then. So I don't know what it is now. It could be the same. Who fucking knows? But yeah, the Braves definitely aren't getting anywhere near that. I would be surprised. They probably got like 10 million, maybe.
Yeah.
Especially which is, it's $10 million.
Yeah, take it. You're paying for a couple players, paying for all of RC's contract.
Twitchy Flyer 7 said that the Quikrete patch is said to be for 5 years. That's a lot to do on your opening round.
I know.
But whatever.
Yeah, okay, yeah. It seems like this between $55 million and $80 million is where you per year is where you can land for this. For the front of the kit sponsorship. I'm looking at the top ones right now.
Blah blah blah. Yeah, it's a 5 year deal for Quikrete. Yeah, so that is what it is. You would expect that they would have. So when you do the kit contracts in football, whatever soccer, there's incentive bonuses. So if you win the league, you get I think it's usually like a 10 to 25% increase in pay if you win the league and shit like that. If you win UEFA or Champions or any shit like that, you get bonuses and stuff. If you have a league-leading goal score, you get bonuses. So, yeah. I mean, those contracts are pretty dope. But either way, I don't know what it looks like structure-wise for the Braves, but I imagine there's probably incentives in there. And the Braves are going to hit most of them because they're just successful every year.
Right.
Maybe they're not going to win the World Series every year, and they may not even get out of the first round of the playoffs every year, but they will be in the playoffs every single year.
Right, and you'll have guys... I mean, at least one high-selling jersey with Acuna. Yeah. And my assumption would be if Strider can... I mean, not that he's pitching badly, his ERA is under 3, but if Strider can like really get into Cy Young form between how just electric and funny is to watch and then his personality...
And
like
changing to 99 as well will have something to do with that.
Yep. A lot of... Yeah, so... But yeah, I thought that was interesting. I'll buy the Waffle House version for sure. But,
yeah, maybe we'll make our own.
Why not?
Put Waffle House on the sleeve and then go to the game. And they're like, where'd you get this? Like,
sell it out of my trunk.
Yeah.
$500.
Just sell it down at the fucking, whatever their area is called, the battery.
Yeah. But yeah, that's all I got for today. Gonna watch, I guess, tonight's game on Apple. But should be an interesting series. Definitely want to take this one from the Mariners because the Dodgers and Phillies are coming up and that's going to be pretty rough. Mm-hmm. So
yep.
Have a good weekend. See you fuckers later.